Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
I am here defending our Constitution. I'm going to ensure that the process is working, that the rules are being followed, and that expectations are being met so that each and every person that is charged with a crime gets their fair shake.
In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, I talk with McLennan County District Attorney Josh Teetens. I know you will enjoy our look into the inner workings of the office of our district attorney. I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. You can learn more about this program and sponsors and find links to the podcast version of this program online at thewacoexperience.com. Our sponsors, they are the best. White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. I encourage you, give Seth a call at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. My wife and I had questions about our health care insurance. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You listened to us, answered our questions, and helped my family find the right coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website, txhealthcareforyou.com. That's txhealthcare.com. The number 4 and the letter U.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. They have a conference room that you can reserve and use at no cost. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. Chord Buddy is the world's best way to learn guitar. 100% U.S. made. This learning system and Shark Tank winner will have you playing real music on a real guitar right away. Learn to play guitar today at chordbuddy.com. Cactus Rose Ranch. Young or old or in between, learning how to work with a horse is confidence building. Cactus Rose Ranch offers individual lessons or monthly memberships. Contact them for riding lessons or ranch parties and their nonprofit program, Healing Heroes with Horses. Online at thecactusroseranch.com. This afternoon, I am on location at Glory Bell Coffee. So if you hear noise in the background, you hear some music, you know we are here on the corner of Columbus and 6th Street. Right out of the windows here, we're looking at the annex for the McLennan County Courthouse, which is connected to the beautiful white dome that's been there for many decades. It's also the office location for Josh Teetens. Josh Teetens is the district attorney, and he's about 3 years into the role now. He's taken time out of the schedule to come over here and talk with us here. I am your host, D. Scott Smith. This is the Waco Experience, an American Story. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. And I'm going to tell everyone right now, this is a two-part episode. So we're going to talk about what it means to be a DA, what's going on here in McLennan County, what's been going on. And then we're going to talk about Josh's path into that role. Into the next episode, we're going to be looking into the future. Stay tuned for that in the next episode. Josh, let's go ahead and talk about the district attorney's office. You've been there 3 years now.
Yes. Prior to coming into this role, I was a criminal defense attorney for about 16 years, and it's been an adventure ever since walking in the door. When I first walked in and my team, there were 9 vacancies in the office and a backlog of give or take about 10,000 cases. And so we had to act rapidly and efficiently and effectively to try to address that backlog and move forward. Where we have been and where we have come, I'm reminded by many that that didn't happen overnight, nor will it be fixed overnight. And so the challenge still remains balancing and managing the older cases with the new ones that are coming in every day.
So 10,000 cases on the backlog. I mean, that's it sounds like a big number. I don't know. Is that
For a county our size, comparably, yes.
Okay.
And to give you an idea of what we've done just in the first 2 years, we resolved over 5,600 felony cases. That's just the felonies. In the meantime, though, in that same period, over 4,000 new felonies came into our office.
So I was just thinking about when I was in seventh grade and our math teacher gave us that problem with filling the bathtub. It drains at a certain rate and the spigot's filling up at this rate. How is that flowing? Obviously, we're hoping that more is flowing out, getting resolved, than it's coming in.
Absolutely. And it is. When my predecessor was here, they were in the 80 to 90% range of efficiency. That is a state agency that manages and does math and all that good stuff to check for accountability. After our first year, we had bumped that number up to 108%, which ultimately means we have more cases going out than are coming in. When I go and make presentations and talk to folks about those numbers, they sound pretty scary. You're talking about felonies and they're in the thousands. That being said, thanks to a fantastic relationship now with law enforcement and some incredible leadership from chiefs to lieutenants to crime scene techs across McLennan County, crime is at the lowest rate it's been since 1993.
That is a good partnership.
Yes.
And a good result. So let's just talk in general. What does it mean to be a district attorney? There's a lot of district attorneys across the country.
Yes.
And there's similarities and differences, but in general, tell us what it means.
Right. So in general, you are going to be the chief law enforcement officer of your county. You are going to work hand in hand with law enforcement, and ultimately you will decide through your discretion and by following statutes, et cetera, and case law, you will prosecute a case. Now, we are charged with pursuing justice, not convictions. That's something that we take very seriously in the office. We're not out there looking for quotas, big awards for a number of sentences or cases that you've moved and prosecuted. No, instead, we are trying to seek justice. And so we have to evaluate every case. And in our office, this is where there's some differences with different DAs and even in Texas. Our office handles everything from juvenile matters to CPS matters to misdemeanors, felonies, and even all the way down to Class C tickets that are in the JP court. So to handle that, we've got 35 attorneys, and they all have different roles in that system. It's Sheriff Parnell McNamara here, our local sheriff, put it very well at one point to me. He said, the justice system is like a chain. You've got law enforcement on one end, you've got the courts on the other, and in the middle is the district attorney's office. And if at any point that chain breaks, that's when you're going to see a rise in crime. You're going to see problems in the judicial system. And by working together, hopefully we're addressing that again by seeking justice.
So I like the seeking justice part of it. I've only been called in for juror duty once and actually got to sit on a case. I remember thinking at the time, because of course friends were like, how are you going to get out of it? And I said, if I ever end up in the court, I would want a jury of people like me that are reasonable, rational, not people who are just trying to get out of it and don't have other things to do.
Yes.
So let's talk about that side of the world.
Absolutely. Juries make the system work. From the very beginning of a felony case with the grand jury reviewing that law enforcement report and deciding whether or not we believe and confirm that there is enough to indict that person for a specific charge, all the way up until finality with a jury in a district court or a misdemeanor county court saying guilty and then sentencing. Texas is actually one of the very few states, I believe there's only seven, that have juries that sentence after finding an individual guilty. We love jurors. We want jurors. We need more jurors. We need folks that are able to think and process and appreciate, you've got people's lives in their hands. I get it that most people aren't real excited to show up at the courthouse at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning and sit potentially for hours before actually hearing anything about the case, any facts at all. But we need folks that care. And that's how we, again, can seek justice here in our community.
The case that I sat in, it was driving under the influence for methamphetamines. The person had waited a year for that court trial. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what it was. And I remember sitting after we had gone through all of the evidence and presentation and went in and we're doing our deliberation. And one of the things was another juror was mentioning this person has gone through detox, these different things, was basically making their life better. And I remember saying at the time, but that doesn't mean whether or not they're guilty or not guilty. That really comes down to, in this case, the judge did the sentencing.
Correct. And you hit the nail on the head. It is very different to consider mitigating factors versus guilt or innocence. And so a trial is basically broken up into three parts. You have your initial jury selection, which in Texas we call voir dire, and that is determining which six in a misdemeanor or which 12 in a felony case will be sitting in that jury box. You then move into your guilt-innocence phase of the trial. That is going to be the evidence provided of that alleged offense and that offense alone. And so there's also this fear, I think, or maybe you think you see something on TV that you don't always, that all this guy's bad stuff is going to come in. Not true. We want a jury to look at that individual offense alleged. Did that person commit that crime? Yes or no? If they say yes, then you move into the final stage, the punishment phase. That's when you get everything in there. Their past, their good things, their bad things. Have they been to rehab? Have they been to prison two or three or four or five other times and failed and gotten out and committed new offenses? It's broken up intentionally for that reason.
In the district attorney, criminal cases only, civil, what types, and what's the difference?
Right. We are thankfully, again, a difference with different DA's offices. We are only handling criminal matters with an asterisk. Because juvenile matters are a mix of civil and criminal, and then CPS matters are majority civil. And so we've got a team that's all they do. There's three attorneys that handle nothing but CPS matters.
And CPS, just for everybody, is Child Protective Services.
Correct.
Yeah. Let's talk about your staff then. When you came into the organization, you had big gaps you mentioned.
Yes.
Both in the attorney and the support staff.
Correct. We had 9 vacancies. Thankfully, I was able to fill those 9 immediately. And the 2 years since, we have gone to commissioner's courts and asked for additional personnel, both for attorneys and staff members. And that's just a volume game. Here in McLennan County, we have 2 primary felony district court judges that hear criminal matters only, Judge Susan Kelly and Judge Thomas West. Those are the same 2 felony district courts that we've had since the late 1800s. And I know your viewers and or listeners probably are going to be shocked to think we've got more people here now. And so to address that, the felony district judges are sharing so kindly with the civil judges some of their criminal dockets now, because we went to them, our office, and said we were never going to move 10,000 cases without some additional judges. And so that has been a blessing and a curse, because we are definitely moving, like I said, over 5,000 in the last 2 years, felony matters, but we'll need more prosecutors to go into additional courtrooms.
So I want to talk about hiring these staff, because if you talk to any business out there, finding the right applicants, qualified applicants, going through that process. So let's talk about your process into that. How did you source? How did you staff?
Well, we are very blessed. Waco is just big enough that word of mouth spreads quickly. We have built a team atmosphere, I'm happy to say. We have worked with not only our attorneys, but our staff members through better training opportunities, and we're there to assist them in whatever they might need. We've also, again, gone to commissioner's courts, talked about how wonderful and valuable they are, and they're an asset, again, to our community, and worked with salaries, different pay structures where they can get supplements, etc. That automatically attracts folks. But on the legal side then too, on the lawyer side, I should say, we have Baylor Law School, and we have developed a fantastic working relationship with them. We have an internship program that every semester has a waiting list, and they are booked well into multiple semesters now. We are full all the way for summer, fall, and already have people signing up for next spring. We have a pipeline straight into the law school. It's been great. We're able to get those interns in our office, those staff members in the community that know what they're doing is making a difference. And everybody they see working together in the office makes a big difference.
So I want to go down the leadership path, because you came in from a private attorney into the district attorney role. Tell me about taking on that type of leadership that's in a very public spot. The district attorney, people voted for you. Your name was all over the place.
Yes, sir.
You can't hide.
This is true. Sometimes my wife does make comments about eating out of town, but that's part of the job. And I truly love that aspect. I love talking to folks in the community. Even before I was elected, I was involved with various chamber organizations. I was on the board of Rappaport Academy. I tried to be very active in what I did in the community. That part didn't change. It may have become a little bit more, but it didn't change significantly. And one of the things, just through those experiences and talking to other leaders in our community and friends and family members in various positions, wrapping yourself around with other wonderful teammates is key. It's vital. And so I was very diligent in who I selected and requested and begged sometimes to come over with me once I was elected to the DA's office. And so we have a divided double first assistant, which is somewhat unique for offices. Most of the time, there's only one first. But I have two, Ryan Calvert, and I have Michelle Seimer. Michelle Seimer was my law partner for 10 plus years on the defense side. She handled everything just like I did, from juvenile matters to major felony crimes, but she also did a lot of CPS and family law that I did not. And so she's been a huge asset in that realm. She also has been very helpful in leading the charge, handling mental health cases and working with our recovery courts. Ryan has come from a deep background of a trainer. He worked for the Criminal District Attorneys Association doing trainings for new prosecutors and old from across the state of Texas for many, many years. He's an adjunct professor at the Baylor Law School. And so he brings a wealth of prosecutorial knowledge that Michelle and I did not have coming out of the defense realm. Between the three of us, I feel like that has created a new environment in the office and helped us better prepare for trials. It's improved relationships with law enforcement. It's again helped with training our personnel, our other attorneys, and so we're prepared and knowledgeable.
How would you describe your leadership style?
That's tough. I guess I would start by saying I'm not a micromanager. I don't know how anybody can be. It's certainly not in an office our size. Between attorneys and staff members, we're up to about 75 now. You have to be willing to delegate. You have to trust the folks below you. And that's, again, why I was so encouraged early on to have folks around you that you do trust, that are loyal, that understand what your needs and expectations are. And just vocalizing that and reminding them and being a resource is also helpful. Something else, again, it's not micromanaging, I don't think, but just being present and being available is something that I try to do, whether it's Monday morning going around office to office, coffee in hand. What do you got going on? Do you need help with anything? Having an open door policy. I mean, it's a constant flow of folks coming in. What do you think about this? What about that? Can you help me here? Can you meet with this person? I don't know if that style has a particular name or not, but I try to be available, and I want folks to be able to feel like they can make decisions on their own without being nervous or concerned or worried that it's not the right one.
Yeah. So placing trust in the people.
Absolutely.
That you've hired, letting them do their job, trusting that they're going to do it better than if you tried to put your fingers into it.
That's right. That's right. Right. Yeah. And so in a position like this, like you talked about a minute ago, being out in the public, people will, I mean, it's kind of like any other profession, I think, in the service field. Hey, did you know, or I got this friend or my cousin. And so I do get approached about cases that are pending in the office. I think there's, you know, one end of the spectrum that thinks, oh my gosh, you must get inundated with that. Or, you know, another end of the spectrum, are you threatened? Or are people offering, you know, bribes? Thankfully, no, that has not happened. But what I intentionally try to do each and every time, get their information, and I tell them, I'm going to find out who the lead prosecutor is on that case, and they will reach out to you.
So here on the Waco Experience and American Story, District Attorney, McLennan County, Josh Tedens, we've been talking about the office, the job, what the DA does. You came in, huge backlog. Going to talk about your background. We're going to get started there, and I'm going to let everyone know we're going to run out of time, but tune in next week because we're going to pick it up, and we're going to look into the future. I was thinking, when I was in college, I worked for a CPA doing tax returns. So I did taxes for a lot of small businesses, which helped me when I went into banking. Because when you're looking at lending and they give you your tax returns, I knew how they were put together so I could take them apart. Let's talk about your background and how that is aiding you in being a district attorney.
Going back, but not in too much great detail for time purposes, my dad was a police officer for 46 years. Mother was a school teacher and then a school counselor. I always knew from the very beginning of law school that I wanted to do something in the criminal world. I fully expected to be a prosecutor. That's the route. That's the fatherly police officer influence. I'll be a prosecutor, Dad. Represent the family well. When I graduated, there wasn't an office in the state of Texas that was hiring. It was the glory days of the prosecutors. There were waiting lists upon waiting lists. So, I mean, I put applications in. I knew at the time I was married, starting a family here in Waco, we wanted to either stay in Waco or really darn close. So our options were somewhat limited. Wife was working DA's office here. I had interned there. I met all the right people. Done all the right things, had all the best letters, but there just wasn't a spot open. It was not an option. So I went to the defense. I knew I still wanted to do criminal law. I'm very conservative in nature, and the way that I was able to justify that to my father, who was a little concerned, was I am here defending our Constitution. I'm going to ensure that the process is working, that the rules are being followed, and the expectations are being met so that each and every person that is charged with a crime gets their fair shake, their day in court, they can face their accusers, etc. So I did that for 16 years. I reached a point, obviously, and ultimately, when I felt like the current district attorney was not doing those things, was not seeking justice, was not protecting individuals' constitutional rights, and I ran. I was victorious. But that 16 years of experience on the defense side, like you said, knowing how it works, knowing where there's problems, has been invaluable. Something that my first assistant, Ryan Calvert, brought into the office was trial boardings. And so we go into our conference room, we've got dry erase boards up there, and we fill them up. Who are the witnesses? What is the evidence? What are going to be the issues, concerns, pitfalls? Who are the experts? How are we going to get that evidence admitted? And do just kind of a crash course and try to beat the heck out of that case. That has resulted in trials that move at lightning speed with life sentences resulting. And it's also resulted in, why was that case ever filed? Dismiss it today. Having that experience, being able to, again, with young prosecutors especially, push them and ask questions. You know, how are you going to do that? I love doing it still. It might be kind of mean, but they'll be presenting something and they're excited and they're ready to go. And they're, you know, I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. And I'll say, I object. That's hearsay. That's not the best evidence. That violates the rules of evidence for character evidence, whatever it might be. Stops them in their tracks, and they've got to think on their feet. And so that goes back to the training again and providing that in the office to prepare them. But had it not been for that prior defense experience, I wouldn't be able to do that.
So most of us, our court experience is what we see on TV in the movies.
Yes.
So I'm thinking the whiteboard is replace the push pins and
yes,
yarn.
That's right. Exactly. Now, we've come close. We've got some family trees on some of those cases that they're a mess, and yarn might be easier to read.
And this goes back to the partnership that you have with law enforcement, because your staff is not doing the investigation and pulling in the information.
Right.
But you're requesting, we need more information or we need it more detailed.
Absolutely. And so with those case boardings, we invite the investigating officers to come in with that case. And we also invite other agencies to come in. And so every week I'm sending out emails. Hey, this week, chiefs, spread it to your officers, your detectives, your investigators, even your crime scene guys. We're going to have a boarding on a family violence case. We're going to have a boarding on a murder. We're going to do a child sex assault case, whatever it might be. And so we're having a constant flow of folks that can see our thought process But at the same time, it's a two-way street. We miss things. We have those courtroom blinders on, and I tell officers, please, if you think something is important and you didn't hear us say it, tell us that it's important. We didn't see it. We only know what we know. And so that, too, has been an invaluable tool, I think, for both of us, both law enforcement knowing, well, when I conduct this investigation, man, that case, remember when we were there, they needed this and they needed that and they needed us to talk to these witnesses, take these pictures, get this video, whatever it might be, so that we can prepare those cases. And they know from the time of the arrest, which, and it could be years later, like you mentioned, to actually go into trial, that we have everything that we need.
I had a friend that was a special agent for the FBI, and they were doing financial crimes. He was involved with identity theft. The FBI wouldn't take action unless it was at least $250,000 that was stolen. So this, and this was 15, 20 years ago, 20 years ago. So I'm sure that dollar amount has probably gone up. But his goal was to do the investigation to get about $300,000, $350,000 worth of evidence, knowing that some of it would be dismissed, but it would still hit the threshold for their prosecution. And I'm thinking somewhere along the line, that's what your partnership is as well, is to find enough so that you can justify going into court.
Absolutely. We are always looking for the cleanest way to go, the most efficient offense to be charged. A lot of folks get concerned, and the social media lawyers that are out there get upset sometimes with our charging decisions and ultimate plea offers or outcomes in trials. But for example, the easiest one to compare, it is a first-degree felony in the state of Texas to commit murder. And that carries with it a punishment range of anywhere from 5 years to 99 years or life. Well, if you look just below murder, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, it carries the exact same range of punishment. And it is still a first-degree felony. So if you have somebody that has been killed, homicide is the cause of death, they've been shot, they've been stabbed, something of that nature. Well, if we're not sure, or we don't have enough eyewitness testimony perhaps, or we don't believe we can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that individual intended to kill them, maybe they said and told officers, I just meant to scare them, I just meant to wound them, whatever it might be. If we don't think we can get to murder, we can get to aggravated assault. And then when the jury gets to that point in the trial where they're thinking, oh, this is just an assault, and then you've got a medical examiner up on the stand testifying that, no, this person is deceased, it was caused by this individual, they used this type of weapon, now we've been able to prove much easier without having to get into intent that this individual committed a crime, and it's the same range of punishment.
So this has been part one with Josh Thetans, district attorney here in Glory Bell Coffee. We are on the corner of Columbus and 6th Street. We'll be back for another episode.
The Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.